But I do want to get to CBS 2's Dave Savini. By now, you've probably seen the videos, the police body cam videos of police storming into Anjanette Young's home, social worker who's undressing after work and the humiliation she suffers there. A lot of questions being asked in the wake of this amazing reporting done by Dave. Hugely impactful stuff, Dave, and I know it's a super busy time for you following up and everything else. Thanks for the time. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, it's extremely busy because it really has, it's been a sort of a shockwave, really, I mean, in Chicago for sure, but because of the nature of what happened in this case, just the vulnerability of this woman to be in her home and changing her clothes, just got home from work, working at a hospital as a clinical social worker, dealing with people with trauma, and then ends up, you know, suffering her own trauma. They bust through the door with a warrant, which is, you know, not worth the paper it's written on because they didn't check it out properly, and they break into the wrong home, and then the woman is cuffed naked. And there's a lot of stories here within this story. And
sure.
One of the stories is that, you know, we've been investigating this issue for 2 years, wrong raids in Chicago. We brought it to the mayor. The mayor promised change. The mayor was creating change, got a new policy on the books in January. But we had actually asked her office about this case last year when we did the first interview on it. And so she really should have been aware of it because
we were
talking to her.
That's an important point because I'd love clarification on that. We just heard the mayor say on Tuesday, a news conference, first time I heard about it was today, this morning, when I turned on the news. She said she was blindsided by it. When you reached out, you reach out to her people? Did it seem to her people.
You know, we've been dealing with her office for a year at that point and had a really good line of communication because they were working for change and to get policies changed and because they knew there was a problem. They knew there was a disturbing pattern occurring where the supervision of the search warrant policy had fallen off and they were granting warrants that hadn't been vetted properly. You have to independently verify what a John Doe or a confidential informant tells you. You can't just go bust down a door because often they lie because they're trying to get off on their own problem. You know, they got a debt they got to pay back or they're paid informants. You always got to make sure. You got to run property checks. You got to find out whose house you're going into, even to protect your own raid team. And so we had been in communication with her office and we had done a very large story on Anjanette Young's case last November. Anjanette filed a FOIA, a Freedom of Information request. I have it. I know she did. I heard the mayor say that her people were telling her that she didn't. Why do I have it? I have mine. So we were even in negotiations trying to get the video from the law department last year. They were going to maybe give it to us blurred, they said. So you have a woman whose body was recorded, it was in her home. Police didn't have any right to be in there. They cuffed her. They're all men. They've got her video hanging around the Chicago Police Department and the law department of her body that she's never seen, hasn't seen the video. Why doesn't she have a right to it? What right do they have to keep it from her?
Yeah.
And, this is a problem. This is a problem. This speaks to transparency. And I don't know what the mayor, why she's saying she didn't know about it, because maybe her people didn't tell her. Maybe they didn't tell her about this one particular incident. Maybe she didn't watch those stories. I mean, I did a follow-up a week later with the Illinois Attorney General who interviewed with me about Ms. Young's case, and he talked about how you can do constitutional policing and, you know, without doing harm or breaching the trust in these communities. So there's a lot of things in play here. You have what actually happened on the videos, what happened to Ms. Young, the disturbing nature of how something like that could go so terribly wrong with the checks and balances system that's supposed to be in place. You know, an affiant, an officer who gets the warrant is called the affiant.
Mm-hmm.
And the affiant has to take his facts or her facts to a lieutenant. A lieutenant then has to sign off on that and verify that affiant did all of the required tasks. One of the first two or three items on the list after you check property records, do surveillance to make sure you got the right people. One of the top things on there is the target of the raid already in custody? Are they already in the system? And we've repeatedly found cases where people were in prison, or like this guy who was on electronic monitoring, had a bracelet around his ankle, and was in the apartment next door.
To add insult to injury, because I think that's the part here that, okay, mistakes can happen. This is police work. It's not perfect. But at the end of the day, it feels as if this was sloppy at best, that if you could have done some surveillance to see who's going in which place, and that this was a woman who didn't meet the description of the suspect they were looking for. There are so many things that it felt like could have happened here that didn't. And I know the mayor, when she said she wanted to clean up the policy here, said that these are going to be extremely rare circumstances. And I just wonder how hard it is, how difficult police would say it is to get one of these no-knock warrants in the wake of this sort of request for reform.
Well, after we exposed the problem in 2018 and 2019, we did a documentary called Unwarranted. We showed the plight of these children that had weapons pointed at them, and we showed all of these warrants that were based on John Doe or confidential informants, and they were the wrong places. And people were terrorized. Children were traumatized. They had guns pointed at them. They saw their parents handcuffed. We had an 8-year-old who was handcuffed. And, you know, she's like, this cannot happen. Dave, this cannot happen. She said it at a news conference. This would leave an indelible scar on these children. And I believe her. She wanted to get to the bottom of this. Mm-hmm. And she was fighting for reform. Well, how this happened with Anjanette Young, how her case just sat out there in limbo, because we, the investigative team at CBS, have been pressuring the city about her case, I just don't understand how it fell through the cracks when she says she didn't know about it. So we've got a problem there when it comes to that, and as far as the transparency goes on this. And maybe she wasn't informed, like she should have been, by some of her staff members.
Yeah, and I take her at her word. I have no reason to doubt her. I mean, she seemed very sincere at that news conference when she said, I was blindsided. This is the first I saw. The heads are going to roll, and then she's going to figure out who might have not decided to not mention this to her. Seems like something that should be on the radar of the mayor and the police superintendent. I know they're giving a news conference. They're going to be asked about this afternoon. Let me ask you about Anjanette Young for a second here, because I feel like, okay, we've seen this video. I've seen it multiple times. I've been following your reporting on this issue for some time, too, and it's pretty incredible what you've revealed. But for her, to be in her shoes and see herself in this situation over and over again, I just, she's not someone who seems to crave the spotlight. She's someone who was put in this place and decided to stand up and say something about it, and I respect her for that. It can't be hard for her. What has it been like, your conversations with Anjanette in the wake of this being out there this way?
Anjanette is, she's very devastated by it, and she came to us after she had seen the documentary that we had done, and she had been following the reporting, and she was hesitant to come forward because she was still dealing with her own trauma. She'd been so humiliated, but she came to us for help, to try to help her get her videos, and because she had seen that we had managed to get some videos in some of these cases. And those are very litigious fights with FOIA, and so she wanted to help other kids, other people. She wanted to stop this from happening. She was that traumatized that day, and knowing what trauma does to a person, since that's the world she works in, she really wanted to make change. She wanted to bring about change. She feels a connection to Breonna Taylor as well. Breonna Taylor's raid was 1 year and about a month after her raid, and she feels like she could have been her. Like, by the grace of God, she's alive. Any one of those guys with a weapon, you know, there were machine guns on her that came up on her. What if she reached for her, you know, a phone? What if she had something in her hand? It was dark. They had scopes on their guns. She had no lights on. You know, she just got home from work and it was dark, and she was changing into her PJs.
What if she thought it was an intruder, I suppose, right?
What if she was a licensed gun holder and had one right there? Mm-hmm. And now you got a problem. Now maybe you got a dead woman, or maybe you got a dead cop. You know, and that's why these warrants are so important for the cops as well. Because you don't want to send your team in to a place, you know, to a trap, to a place that, or, you know, if you're an innocent person, you live a wholesome life, and you're in your place with a licensed gun, and someone breaks in your door, you might shoot them. And it's happened. Cops have been shot around the country in cases like this. And I think any police officer, you can't tell me not one of those police officers in that room were not upset with whoever proved that warrant, because they were all in there. They're not all involved on the warrant itself. They're the raid team. There's one guy who got it approved, and there's a lieutenant. And then there's, of course, a judge that signs it as well in the end. So this has been a troubling thing. I know the mayor had said that she started to put, as because of what we found, she requires now two supervisors to sign off on a warrant at the police level, and she requires two body camera patrol officers at least to be on a raid. As we've been reporting, one of the things we learned is that the specialized units like SWAT and the drug team and the gang team, the TAC units, don't wear body cameras. They didn't get them. So they do most of the raids. This was a different sort of a tactical unit that actually had body cameras, but these, there's three or four specialized units that don't wear them. When they do raids now, they have to have at least two patrol officers that are on the raid with a body camera. And they're supposed to be part of the entry team, not the two police officers that show up at the end, because you're supposed to see what happens. And we've already found they failed. We've already had people contact us in February and March who were raided, and there's no video. There were cops that showed up well after the raid happened, and with the cameras. And we know that they were bad raids. We know that they were for people that didn't live there, people that nobody knew. So there's already been a failure in the system since they put their new policies in place. They said they were going to require more training for people, and they may be doing a lot of this. So maybe they're on the way to reform. Maybe they've started to halt some of the raids. You know, some of the raids that are not, maybe they're a little more minor. I don't want to give a classification, but, you know, obviously there's levels of information. You might want to take somebody down who's got bombs, you know, pretty quickly, you know, obviously. But if it's a bag of, you know, if it, like, I mean, they were raiding people for pot that, you know, they sent out a team of like 20 cops. And they raided a guy for, there was one guy I did a case that one guy had a handgun that wasn't registered. And then this guy, of course, was a felon who supposedly had a handgun that they were looking for. Like I said, he was right next door, and, the charges he was awaiting trial on that he had a bracelet on were dropped. And here's the real kick in the gut. They never went back to go get him. They never went and got a new warrant to go get the guy that they really wanted. So what does that mean? How important was he? If you're not even going to go back and get him.
No, let's be clear. This predates Mayor Lightfoot, because I've understood that Mayor Lightfoot has said she wants this to be like a ticking time bomb situation, that the reason you would approve a no-knock warrant would be to go in because somebody has something and something imminent could happen if you don't. This certainly wouldn't have met that threshold.
So a lot of people have a misconception about no-knock warrants. A no-knock warrant is a special thing that has to be granted by a judge. The majority of the warrants that we've investigated, all the ones that have been wrong raids, were not no-knock warrants. Hers was not a no-knock warrant. They were required to knock. But what you see happen is the police officers that go to the raid will tap the door once and say, Chicago Police, and they break the door down in the same breath. You don't even have a chance to get to the door.
She doesn't have a chance to put a clothes on or throw a blanket around your shoulders.
No, you don't have a chance to get, you know, you're in the bathroom and what's that? And then all of a sudden you hear violent pounding on your door. Now you're scared and you're frozen. You're like, what is happening? Imagine being a woman alone, anyone alone in your house. And all of a sudden you're hearing the battering ram and your whole house is shaking. So this is what happened to her. And then what happened to her after they were in the door? And then you hear the two officers out in the squad car saying, how did this ever get approved? I heard it wasn't supposed to be approved, you know, but it got approved anyways. There are so many components to what happened in these raids. We did a database investigation back in May and June, and we found that disproportionate number of these raids, 90% were in Black and Latino communities. That's where the city does its raids. And what does that say? I mean, what does that mean? Are they doing their own audits? Are they checking these things out? Do they know this? We found, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of raids where they found nothing.
Dave, can you speak to something here?
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
You know, I feel like there are huge discussions that need to be had and will be had around raids, due largely because of your reporting. I know it was already on the radar of the mayor and the police department. They were already trying to bring about change there. But I think this is a glaring example that the change needs to be faster and maybe some other things need to look at. That's out there, okay? And we all know this was an epic failure. I think everybody agrees. When you hit the wrong house and something like this happens, that's a breakdown of the system. That's wrong. But I think one of the things that stings, too, is, and maybe we're misconstruing it because we're just seeing video, and I know that sometimes it's out of context, but it seems as if there's this indignity in which the way she was treated. I don't know what period of time she was standing there naked. I wonder, did, you know, the response after it kind of became clear that she wasn't the target, and that the target wasn't there and that there was no threat. What happened next?
Well, I mean, I was thinking about that myself, you know, and then as I watched the blurred version of everything, I was, it's like, no matter of time really matters when you're the person in that moment, because you have no control of your own life. Your personal safe place, your home, has been seized. You're an innocent person. You're cuffed. You're guilty until proven innocent. They're searching your home. She was worried they were going to shoot her dog. And there's a lot of dogs that get shot on raids. And she's naked, and an officer goes and gets a coat. It's like a half little coat, it's a short coat. She's a very tall woman, and they put it over the back of her shoulders, and then she's standing there with her entire front and bottom exposed, and they're just having a conversation with her, like oh, this happens all the time. Like, you know, we're going to talk to a person here naked in her own house, telling her to calm down, relax, relax, man. We have a warrant. We have a warrant. We have a right to be here. Someone told us bad things are happening here. And they didn't even know her name. They didn't know her name. They had to ask her what her name was. That's how much they failed on the checks of that. If they would have checked the apartment records, they would have known her name.
Yeah.
The utility records, they would have known her name. And tonight, from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. on CBS in Chicago, we are dedicating an hour of commercial-free investigative reporting on this issue, and it's called My Name is Anjanette Young. That's the name of the series. That's the name of the presentation tonight. My Name is Anjanette Young. She screamed it out when they put her up against the wall because they didn't know it. And the reason they didn't know it is because they didn't do their homework. And I want to say something, which is really interesting, because yesterday one of our crews with a big Channel 2 truck was driving to a scene, and a police car backed up, stopped, pulled up alongside of them, and told them to roll down their window. And they're like, what's going on? And the police officer said, you know, you're doing that series, right? CBS is doing that series on wrong raids. And they're like, yeah. And they said, good job.
Wow.
They're a good job. That needs to be exposed. I think officers are themselves are upset with what happens on some of these specialized units, because it reflects on all these other officers that are working hard on the
Absolutely.
Street. And so if the system is a failure, it's going to fail on their end too. You're going to put your own people at risk. And we point the finger at the judges as well. We chased the judge down the street last month because he signed 1,000 warrants. And he signed more warrants than anybody, even close. And he was signing all the warrants for the guys that were robbing the drug. You know, they were getting fake warrants. Salgado and the two guys that were the police officers that were just indicted, Elizondo and Salgado,
yes.
and Judge Arujo, who, you know, we did a whole story on Judge Arujo, and he signed more negative warrants than any other judge. They never found anything. No arrest, no nothing. It's called judge shopping. And, it's where you find a judge and we'll just sign your warrant. You know, the judge is supposed to sit there and ask the informant questions. So tell me, how do you know this had happened? How do you know for sure it was that unit you saw the man in? How do you know, what did you, there's so many, this is
so many consequences, yeah, and so, yeah, many discussions that will result from this. I got to tell you, Dave, my hat's off to you, because it's rare, even in a career, that a reporter produces a story with such impact, changing lives, potentially changing laws, right? And you have done it over and over again. It speaks to you and your team there at CBS2, and it's we'll have to see. I hope you'll come back on again and talk about some of the changes that result and some of the things that are not the same, right?
Because and I appreciate you having me on to talk about it, because it is really an important issue, and I think this is one of those stories that really did take the breath out of a lot of people. Yeah, it really did. I don't know how you could watch what happened to that lady, that wonderful lady, mm-hmm. and not stand there and just, you know, be hurt by it. Mm-hmm. So we hope she gets through it, and we hope the city does her right and owns up to it, mm-hmm. and, you know, doesn't put her through any more torture.
Thank you, Dave. Busy time for you. CBS 2 investigates that special 1 hour tonight. My name is Anjanette Young, 6 to 7 o'clock. Dave Savini there. Great work. Thank you for joining
us.
Thanks for making time.